appreciate the humble prayer that's been prayed this morning, and we're glad to see each of you here at Union. We always feel at home and feel welcome when we come to Union Church. We're thankful for that. In studying some history or biography of the minister in this area in the early part of the 18th century, Elder Solomon Peake was an elder in our area, and he was there in the division of 1841, and then he was in the constitution of Boiling Springs Church in 1837. And then in 1855, he was here at Union. And he collapsed preaching here at Union and of typhoid fever. And, of course, he suffered and did not get well. He died in 1888. Let me see, 1850. I'm sorry. He died in 1858. Well, he lived 3 years after he collapsed here, but he remained sick with typhoid fever. And he was 87 year old. So, but I thought that was something when I was reading that, I thought about Union Church. And I guess this place here where I'm standing could, if it could speak, we could hear a lot, couldn't we? You know, the Lord, the way he works, I don't understand. Now, the brother that spoke a few minutes ago, is that Brother Justin? Is that right? Okay. I want to get that right. Well, part of his message is part of mine. Is I won't take anything away from Brother Justin and what he was saying from Hebrews 11. But I will be speaking to you from Hebrews 11 and the early part of chapter number 12. Here in this scripture, I'll read the first two verses. It says, "By faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good report." Now, he goes through this chapter and he uses the word through faith and by faith. Now, we might think, well, he got tired of using one, so he just used the other one. That wasn't the way it was. That wasn't the way it was. Now, my take on it, and if you differ with me, why, that'd be okay. I've been wrong a lot of times. But anyway, by faith and through faith. Now, as Brother Justin spoke to us, by faith, we understand we're exercising faith. But through faith, notice that. He says, through faith, we understand the world were framed by the Word of God. World were framed by the Word of God. So, that thing which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God takes my understanding. God takes a thing or person, and he takes it and uses it this way. He uses a thing this way. He moves it from here to here. He takes a person from here and moves them here and brings about what he does. Through faith. Another place was also that he mentioned also in his speaking to us through faith about Sarah. Herself strengthened to conceive and deliver a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. It was through faith that Sarah conceived of Abraham and bring a child. That wasn't normally something that could happen. It was something that God himself caused to happen. Now, Brother Justin talked about Sarah laughing within herself. You read a little more in that scripture, the early part of that scripture, you'll find out Abraham, he was a laugher too. He laughed too. He laughed before Sarah did, and Sarah laughed within herself, but God knew, our omniscient God, he knew that she lied. Even though she laughed within herself, nobody heard her, but God did. So this is the way that God uses, and I believe that's the reason that we have it here in Hebrews 11. Now, as we talk here in Hebrews 11, we go over to the 12th chapter. And it starts out here in verse number 1 of the 12th chapter. It starts out and it says, wherefore seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now the witnesses that he's speaking of is those in chapter number 11 that we have the record of. And he says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now a witness is to witness something that's going on, right? Okay, what that is saying, that these are the past, or the witness, that's, and he talks about a course that we're running. And I'll go on down and read the rest. And the sin was so easy, well, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin that so easy beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Not a race of competition. It's not a race where I beat you or you beat me. That's not the kind of race it is. We got a race to run, and Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Every one of us has got a course. Some's gonna do better than others. But we're not in competition with each other. You know, we live in a competitive world that we live in, so it's hard for us to believe that we can do something that we're not competing against no one else. But we're not. We are running this race that's set before us, and us running the race, every one of us, young or old, we got a race to run. Now, how well you've run this race so far, I don't know. How well I've done, I don't know. But you should think about this race you're running. How well are you doing? You might stop some of the habits. You might stop some of the other things that you do that you don't have to do. You're a little ill-tempered, better soften a little of that. Did you get along good with everyone? Maybe some. There's a lot of things that we, as we run this race, that we need to understand. There's a witness. It's just like you running a race and there's witnesses up there. Now, you can't see them, not with a natural eye. But faith, you can't see that with a natural eye. That's what we're talking about, something you can't see with a natural eye. And I think you'll agree with me, most of the things that mean most to us in life is the things that are not seen with a natural eye. And faith. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Now, he gives us a sample of these witnesses. He gives us a sample of them here in Hebrews 11. There's more than this. Just a sample. And what each one would be noted for as individuals and their testimony as we run this race, we think about it. That's the reason they are witnesses. There's things about them that we remember. And these things are in our mind. And it is like they in the stadium as we run this race. There's one there saying he desired to please God. And then there's one that said prepared, you know, and then there's one that said obeyed, and then there's one that refused. See? We got those in the stand as we run this race that's set before us. The race is set before us. Every one of us is running this race. You don't quit this race. You don't quit to the end. You're always going to run a race. It don't make no difference if you can jump 10 foot now. And I couldn't jump 10 foot. It don't make no difference our age or what. We're running a race. Always running this race. And we got these witnesses. How far do you get in life if you desire to please God? That's what Enoch's testimony was. Here in Hebrews 11, Enoch was translated that you should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My wife gave me a Bible back in the early 60s. And I wrote in the Bible then, I had a desire to study the Bible and was studying. I wrote in the front of it, my greatest desire is to please God. Still there. I don't know how well I've done, but my desire is to please God. How far will you get in life if your desire is to please God? Everything you do. Is this pleasing to the Lord? Is it? And then you go on down, and it said, by faith Noah, being warned of God, not seen as yet. You notice what that said? Did you notice that? It said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He didn't see it. He never saw it rain. Never rained before. Why do you build an ark, crazy man? Why do you do that? See, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, made preparation. How far do we get in life if we don't make preparation? How far do you get in life? I'm going to go out here and build a house. I ain't going to make no preparation. I'm just going to grab up a hammer and nails and some wood. It takes preparation. Anything you do in life, if you have something in life that's worthwhile to do, it takes preparation. In other words, you have children that are born in the world, and you just throw them over there and leave them alone and feed them and give them some water and make them, keep them warm and clothed and everything. They'll grow up and they'll be fine. Take preparation, don't it? Preparation. Anything you do. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a pastor at Union that don't make preparation. And you need to prepare to listen to what he says. It takes a prepared heart to listen. No, you're not going to speak. But it takes a prepared heart to listen and to learn. So we need preparation. And then we come on down to Abraham. And Abraham, he told him, said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place, that's verse 8, which he should actually receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. Notice this. He went out not knowing whether he went. I just need to walk out the front door and just pick me up which way I want to go to Raleigh. I'm going to go that way, or this way, or that way, or that way. You see? He didn't know, though, whether he was going. He just let God lead him, should I have to receive for an inheritance, and called to go out to a place which he said, I should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where they went. By faith, see, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of him that of the same promise. So he went where God led him to go. Didn't know where he's going. Well, you and I, we might be a little cautious on that. Well, you just wait here, Lord, and I'll be back. I'm going to go check things out a little bit before I go. So I'm going to check that territory down there out, whether I really want to go or not. No, that's not the way it was. And that's the way it is with us when, by faith, we obey. When God speaks to us, we don't ask questions. Just obey. Same thing about Abraham when he was offering Isaac, carry him over to Mount Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering and everything. Well, he got up and left. Abraham obeyed God even on that occasion. So, obedience. We need obedience. And remember that. And as we run this race, up there, somebody's hollering out, obedience! Obedience! Somebody's hollering out, preparation! Preparation! Somebody's hollering, are you pleasing God? And then one other of these, going all of them, a good message and good lesson in all of us. By faith, verse 24. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. She'd rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to join the pleasures of sin for a season. Refused. You don't accept everything. Sometimes you refuse. You refuse. And we have to do that. I'm pretty much a stickler on our worship service. It's an apostolic, simple apostolic form of worship. And I refuse anything else to replace this. We don't need nothing else. I'd certainly refuse any teaching on somebody come among us and said, well, let me, we got free will and we don't have free will, so we've got to balance this. No, there's just no free will. That's it. In other words, a dead person don't have a will. So we wouldn't believe that. And we believe that in life itself, and we would believe that evolution is a theory, not fact. Not fact. We certainly would promote and refuse anything that would promote premarital sex, pornography. All those things are things we would refuse. We need to be the kind of person that, even though we be obedient and we desire to please God, there comes time, just like it was with Moses. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses himself lived to be 120 years old. He lived 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh. He lived 40 years in the backside of the desert in Midian. He lived there 40 years. And then when he come back to Egypt and led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, dry shod, when he come back to do that, then there, the remaining of his life was 40 years. So he was 120 years old when he died. Now, these are things that we need to think about as we run this race. You and I have got a race to run. How well are you running? How well do I run this race? And then he says, compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight Now, a runner that's running a race, he's not running with a full pack and a pair of combat boots. That's not the way it's done. If he's running a race. Now, back in Fort Jackson, they like to do that, run you, you know, have a full pack and combat boots and just all loaded down and everything, just run you and run you. That's part of basic training. But here, as we run this race, we lay aside every weight. Every weight. Just like a runner running a race, you can't run. Your clothes are to be light. Can't be heavy. Light. So we run light. Let's lay aside every weight. Now, anything that is a hindrance, anything in you running this race that's a hindrance, and you takes your attention away from the Lord, that's a weight. Now, I could think of a number of things that probably we could list as hindrances that we have. But one main hindrance, I think, that bothers each of us, sometimes we think too much of the past. I should not allow my childhood, things that happened to me years ago, we should not allow that to hinder us as we run this race. Sometimes people do that. They have things that they remember 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago that hinders them. They can't seem to just put one foot before the other because of this hindrance that's in their mind. Well, Satan, he likes that. He likes to bring any kind of hindrance that we can have. Any kind of weight he can throw in the way, well, he'll do that. You know, we say, you know, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, you know. You know, a lot of times what we do, we bring our burdens up, you know, and we got them all strapped on and everything. You know, we bring them up and everything. We lay them down before the Lord. And then we start to leave. We reach back and pick them up and carry them with us. That's sometimes the way we are. We say we're talking to the Lord and giving these things to the Lord and bringing our burden to Him. A lot of times we just pick them up and carry them back with us. We've not got the message. When you bring them to Him and leave them there, that's Father now. You don't worry about them no more. In the same way about these hindrances, things of the past. Sometimes things of the past just haunt us like ghosts that hinders us. And I'm talking about real hindrances that hinders us. There's a lot of other things that we could probably, I don't know. It's not, I guess, a sin. But maybe we should visit more, you know, than we do. Or maybe we should pray more than we do, or we should read the Bible more than we do. Maybe you consider those as weights. But one thing, like I said, that bothers us more than anything is the past. Last year, year before. Things that keep in your mind, you know. And sometimes it even hinder your sleep because of things that hinder you. I've had hindrances like that myself. I remember years ago when I was in the other order and I never hadn't saw salvation by grace and never saw God's sovereignty. I'd lay on my head at night and I'd just weep and on my pillow and everything because so many friends and so many relatives are dying and going to hell. And I was just, you know, and I had no peace about it. Well, then I saw salvation by grace and God's sovereignty. I lay on my pillow and rejoiced. The peace of God just flooded my soul. And then another time that I had an experience sort of similar to that. One time I was really upset. I'd go to bed with it. I'd wake up with it. Sometimes even it hindered my sleep with it because of something that was going on and some wrangling that was going on between the preachers and the churches. More preachers than anything. They like to do that better than anybody else. And preachers are guilty to the core. But anyway, and I prayed over that. I mean, it really disturbed me. I couldn't understand, you know, why this or that. I knew what was going on now. I wasn't ignorant of what was going on. I knew what was going on. It wasn't that. But then I kept praying and kept praying. All at once, I don't know how you get this now. I don't know how it comes about. I don't know that. All at once, the peace of God just flooded my soul. I can talk about it now, but it never bothers me no more. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now notice this. Every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice, he said the sin. So easily, but now I've heard others say, well, every one of us has got a particular sin that somebody else don't have that bothers them. Well, my take on this is that he's talking about the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Who's guilty? All of us. Right? All of us are. The sin of unbelief. And hey, we're not the only ones. We go back to the days of Elijah. And Elijah, he's a great man of God. He ran and hid himself in Jezebel to this great prophet that had called and hadn't rained for 3 years, and then he called upon God, and God sent the rain and lapped up 12 barrels of water around the altar and all this. And everything, God, I mean, he could talk directly to God. Elijah did. But here he goes over there, and sometimes I guess I've heard others say it, so I can use it too. He goes over there and had a lot of self-pity. You know, you ever been that way? Have a lot of self-pity. You feel sorry for yourself. You know. And you just all, you're self-centered. You feel sorry for yourself. You know, you ain't feeling sorry for everybody else. You're feeling sorry for me. And he went over and had a pity party. And actually run and hid himself. He's over there. I mean, he got down this low. He said, just let me die. That's what Elijah said. Just let me die. Boy, now he was, you think he's an unbeliever? Yes, he was. He was an unbeliever. God, he wanted to die. But still, notice this. And this is for us. I'm glad that we have this lesson here for us. The angel of the Lord told him, I'm going to use my own language here. Get up from there. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. I got 7,000 knees that's never bowed a knee to Baal. And you think you're all alone? You and I are like that. We have that times of unbelief. We have it. John the Baptist that had said, behold, the Lamb of God that had baptized the Lord. When he's over there in prison, you know, about to be beheaded, he told his disciples, said, you sinned, and said, aren't thou he, talking about the Lord, is this really the Messiah? Aren't thou he, or should we come, or do we look for another. See? Unbelief. Even these great men of God, Peter, you know, that had been on the mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and saw Moses and Elijah there with the Lord and everything. And then this Peter, he's a lot like me and you. I think we're a lot like Peter. He denied the Lord thrice after that. So we can see how that we ourselves has this sin of unbelief. And then you come on down, besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It takes patience. You can't just say, I'm going to do it, and so it takes patience. It's a long journey, long course. How long is it going to last? I don't know. It's a great course. I'm glad I'm in it, aren't you? I wouldn't want to be nowhere else than to be on this course and running this race that is set before us. Now, we saw our witnesses. We saw this as we run the race. But then I want you to notice this, verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, looking unto Jesus. Now, we saw what's behind us. The race is set before us. But we have our eyes fasted upon an object. Back in the late 50s, I was a fireman in Atlanta, and I had to go through training down in West End, and we had these long ladders. Well, the country boy, he had never saw ladders like that, you know, that went way up yonder. Well, that only, I mean, now they're more than that. You didn't have the skyscrapers in Atlanta that you do now. But anyway, I was a little fearful of those ladders. And I'd start out that ladder, and I'd watch where my feet was going, and I'd, you know, try to go up a ladder. It'd take me forever to get up there. So they told me, he said, you look that top ring of that ladder. Put your hands over it. Put the top ring, and you keep your eyes on that top ring of that ladder and move your feet. I did. Right up. Okay. But the point I want to make to you is the object, the top ring of that ladder. And the same way in life, when our object is the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the finisher of it. And we look to him. How well we're going to run the race, get rid of the weights, remember the testimony of those before us. Remember that. But the main thing, we got our eyes upon the Lord. He's the one that we're looking at as we run the race. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We can run a race if we got our eyes upon the Lord. It's important how well you and I do. We're not in competition with each other. If he was, there's a lot to do better than me. But I realize that I'm not in competition. I've got only one to please in this race, and that's the Lord. He's the one that I've got to please. Oh, I hope I please others along the way. I hope I do. But my pleasing really is, if it's pleasing to him, it should be pleasing to you. Please the Lord. Please him. The author and finisher of our faith. May we use and exercise our faith in that manner. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.